It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, July 11th. I'm Patricia Naft. A power outage Friday affected more than 1,000 Delta Montrose Electric Association customers in North Montrose. DMEA says birds contacting a protective switch in the substation serving the area damaged equipment and caused the blackout. The outage lasted for over an hour. Lake City is announced for finalists for its town manager position, according to the Silver World. The candidates are Sid Fleming, the former town manager of Yuma, Arizona, Matt Hirschberger, an intern with the City of Delta, Camille Richardson, the acting director of the Lake City-based Lake Fork Conservancy and Cold Harbor Institute in Gunnison, and Carolyn Mitchell, the public safety director of Oak Harbor, North Carolina. There will be a catered meet and greet with the finalists Tuesday at the Lake City Armory at 5 o'clock. The town manager position has been vacant since February when Leslie Klusmeyer's contract was terminated. Almost 1 year after the Gold King mine spill, the EPA is back at the site to finish the work they've started. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Gold King mine near Silverton stopped operating in 1922. Since then, runoff and spring water seeped in. The water stagnated in those dark tunnels, slowly accumulating sulfuric acid, zinc, lead, cadmium, copper, and aluminum. That's what poured out of the mountain last August into the Animas River, 3 million gallons of it. Crews from the EPA were excavating a site near an old tunnel when pressurized water shot out, sending a pulse downstream. The agency did create some temporary measures to address the spill, but they've announced that they'll now go back and install steel and concrete near the spill site and clean up the retention ponds. They're also planning on continuing working on the mine, as they have since the 1990s. That toxic pool in the mountain is still there, and it's been slowly leaking into the water for decades. Currently, the town of Silverton, Governor Hickenlooper, and other stakeholders are petitioning the EPA to designate the area a Superfund site. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Massive bison herds used to be the staple of the Great Plains. That is, until we almost hunted them out of existence. Now, with the designation as the United States National Mammal, bison ranchers argue if we truly want to bring the animal back, we have to eat them. For KUNC and Harvest Public Media, Luke Runyon reports.
Greg Knott is an accidental bison rancher. He didn't grow up on a farm. But 4 years ago, his wife Tammy saw a herd of grazing bison on her way to Wyoming from their home in suburban Colorado. She knew then she wanted to raise the animals.
How long did it take you to accept that we were going to do this?
I was pretty opposed to it at first because my background is in IT.
And so the couple pivoted from computers to bison. Today, the Knotts have a small herd on a wide, grassy piece of prairie a few miles south of the Colorado-Wyoming border. We're out here behind a 6-foot-tall barbed wire fence, tossing apple slices to the furry beasts. They take turns rolling around in the dirt, sending a small dust cloud into the sky.
Their head movements are very exaggerated, and you get your hand in the wrong place, and you get a horn. So you just don't do that.
Yeah, we have people asking, can we pet them? And we're like, oh, please don't.
But what the animals lack in calmness, they make up for in the price of their meat. See, bison is in demand at restaurants and grocery stores, no longer relegated to novelty status or only pigeonholed to Wild West-themed eateries. Yet the Knotts say they didn't just get into the business to make a buck. Part of their desire is to get the animals back on the land they historically roamed.
In order to save this animal, we're going to have to eat them.
And I call it market-based conservation.
That's Dave Carter, the director of the National Bison Association. In a rare lightning strike of congressional cohesion, lawmakers named the animal America's national mammal this spring.
I think the goal of this is to put bison on a stage that allows all of us that are connected with this animal to tell the story of bison.
Part of the designation is purely conservation. The coalition that pushed for it to be named the national mammal included Native American groups and wildlife advocates. But another flank of the group is made up of business people. They say by convincing consumers to buy and eat bison, it creates demand. More ranchers raising them means more animals out on the plains.
My job these days consists primarily of reaching out to folks to build the herds and get more people into bison ranching. And that's going to bring these animals back to more and more acres of rangelands and pastures across the country.
Now, bison ranching isn't new in the U.S., but those in the industry want to latch onto this moment in the spotlight. The early 2000s brought a lull to the bison market. Some call it a bison bubble, where ranchers were more focused on breeding and selling the live animals to other aspiring ranchers, rather than investing in infrastructure to process and market their hides and meat. Since that bubble burst, Bob Dineen's built this bison slaughter facility in Brush, Colorado. Bison carcasses move along a chain hung upside down by their legs.
The young bulls that are a prime product weigh somewhere around 1,100 pounds live.
Dineen's company, Rocky Mountain Natural Meats, kills and butchers upwards of 200 animals a day here. The meat from this facility supplies restaurants owned by Ted Turner, the nation's most well-known bison rancher, and even a large retailer like Costco. Their hides are shipped off to be tanned, and organs are boxed up to be processed for pet food.
These would be individually wrapped tongues, and those are testicles or Rocky Mountain oysters. And there's a good market for those,
I actually bet.
Dineen says no matter how high demand climbs for the meat, bison will always remain a niche product.
It's very important that producers are able to be profitable raising bison. And that's kind of our focus, is to try to push that profitability back to the rancher.
Because that kind of market-based conservation, Dineen argues, is one way to put more of the national mammal back on the land. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.